Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to do what we did last week. I'm going to share a little bit from the scripture. I'm going to do a part two, tell some stories. They're going to respond and give our offering at the end. And what I'm really looking for, I'm not looking to get a big offering. That's not my real point. I'm wanting to change paradigms and perspectives. I call it a power encounters with finances. When we give financially, and those times, it doesn't happen that often, when the Lord answers on the specific amount, on a specific date, where you know that you know it was His answer, and it creates a wow, God, you really heard me, you really saw me, and I call that a power encounter. Lord, I just ask you to bless the hearing of the word. God, I ask you to strengthen resolve, that your eye is on us, shift perspective around this amazing reality of finance and your power in our heart. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at page one. I covered it last week, so I'll just kind of make a couple little reminder points. And for those who are not here, kind of get you in the flow of the conversation where we were at. Again, paragraph A, when I talk about power encounters in finance, I'm talking about those few times. And there's not so many where the Lord, we give, and the Lord answers in a way that is easy to connect with the giving we just did. And many times what happens is just the general water level rises of our financial resource and blessing. And I like that. That's cool. But that isn't as dynamic as when you give it and He answers it in such a specific way. And I gave him five or six stories last week in my early days how it was answered so specifically. I was in 18, 19, 21, 22. I read some biographies, and these men and women of God gave money, and they didn't tell anybody their need. And those books, you know, convinced me you couldn't tell anybody your need. I don't believe that now. I actually believe you can share with friends and partners, and there's a goodness in that. But there are times to be quiet. And I gave some early stories where I gave, and I was like, Lord, you got to answer. And He answered the exact amount on the exact day, and it was so exciting because the excitement wasn't that I got the money, though I always appreciate that. It's that He heard me. The Genesis 1 God heard me and was moved. It was like, wow, this is amazing. Lord, the implications of that are stunning. And of course, that's what we believe in our faith, this living relationship. Well, here in Malachi chapter 3, it says verse 10, bring in ties to the storehouse, but here's the phrase, test me, try me. You know, all through the scripture, God says, don't you test me. Do not test the Lord, except this one area. God challenges us to challenge Him. He says, challenge me, see if I won't prove myself faithful in the financial arena of your life. Paragraph B, the passage I looked at last week was Haggai 2. And in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, there's a, in the generation the Lord returns, He's going to shake all the nations. That's economically, politically, spiritually, many, many types of shaking is going to happen. And I believe we're in the early days of that generation, but nonetheless, there is a shaking that's going to escalate the closer we get to the Lord's return. And if we have a history in God, a personal history, wherein days and years before, we gave and saw His answer, and we registered it. We have this growing history with the Lord in finances, and we want a history in God in other areas too. When shaking happens, we're not near so moved. Or don't just think of the end time shaking in our own personal lives. In those seasons where we have financial challenges, and we got a history where God answered us in the past, we feel very different when we're in a time of testing and challenge in our financial life, as well as in the great shaking at the end. If you get in fear, you make really wrong choices. And so I've been challenged for these 40 years plus to be intentional about testing the Lord in this, developing a history so that I'm not moved when things aren't working economically, externally, in various seasons, there are those challenges. And so here in Haggai chapter 2, it says, I'm going to shake all the nations, but in the shaking of the nations, I'm going to bring a great harvest. I'm going to bring millions to Jesus. Look at that, Haggai 2, verse 7. They're going to come to the desire of all nations. The desire of all nations is one of my favorite titles of the Messiah, of Jesus. God and the shaking is going to make Jesus desirable to unbelievers. Oh, I love that. And then look at the next verse 8. The silver and gold's mine. What that means is he's going to display his ownership over money in the nations. Now, he owns it all now. But in that final years, in those decades leading up, he's going to manifest his ownership over money, and he's going to shift finances and wealth to finance the harvest and the advance of his kingdom. Paragraph C, Deuteronomy 8, we mentioned that God gives the power to give wealth. He gives it, but he gives it for a reason. He gives it not just so that we enjoy bigger and more things. Now, there's a certain blessing in enjoying more things. But a lot of folks go too far in that, and they misunderstand the reason God gives power to give wealth. It says here in Deuteronomy 8, it's to establish his covenant. In other words, to advance kingdom purposes. And a lot of folks that believe for economic increase, it comes to them and it's thus far no more and it stops. And the Lord says, no, it's unto advancing the kingdom. So I challenge people, believe God for prosperity, but embrace generosity and don't always increase your lifestyle every time the Lord increases the amount of wealth he gives you. I mean, there's times to do it and times not to. And that's something that Diane and I were really committed to back in the early days. We said, Lord, we're going to believe you for supernatural wealth. But the Lord spoke to us, and he doesn't give this to everyone, to be joyful in a simple lifestyle. That to commit ourselves to get prosperity, but use the prosperity for the increase of the kingdom, not just the increase of our own sphere and our own way. And again, the Lord will speak to everyone different on that issue. Okay, look here in paragraph D. Paragraph D, Luke chapter 6. And this is what we ended with last week. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Now, he commands them to give, and that's a important command. But that's not my focus today. It's not on the command to be faithful to give, though that is biblical. It's the next phrase. It will be given back. Is that some people, they're sincere in their giving, but they don't have an active faith for God to give back. They say, no, I give just because I love God. I go, that's really excellent. I give because I want to meet a need, a compassion. I want to be helpful. That's a really good point. Those are biblical points. We give because we love God. We give because we love people. We give to needs. But that's not the end of it. He says here, I want you to know it will be given back. I want you to see the dynamic interaction between my heart and your heart. I want you to register it. I don't want you to miss that. I want you to see I'm actually responding to you. That's what I call the power encounter, when our heart is wowed. Yes, we give, we worship. It's enough to love you. Yes, we give because we're meeting a need and we're being helpful to others. That's excellent and biblical. But I want to live encountering these moments where the Lord shows me he's paying attention to my heart and what I'm doing. You know, God doesn't need our money. He's real rich. He's real generous. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And he wants you to see his heart. And he uses money as a way for that dynamic to happen. Now, the biblical truth of prosperity, again, I believe in the biblical doctrine of prosperity. But it's relative. Prosperity means, in my opinion, my definition, God supplies your needs and gives you money to help others in their needs and to advance the kingdom. So most of you in this room are living in prosperity right now. God supplied your needs and you have extra to help others. And of course, some folks, there's a couple zeros there. To other folks, there's a couple more zeros there. It's all relative. But it is the doctrine and the truth of prosperity that we give and he interacts with us and he gives more. But I want to encourage people to be intentional about looking for the return. And not looking for the return just so you can get more stuff. Looking for the return so you can be wowed. Going, this is amazing. You're invisible, but you listen to me. You hear me. You're moved by me. This is a remarkable story. You know, there's some folks that are really sincere, but they miss the faith element. And there's a, you know, I kind of characterize it in this kind of silly way, like, Lord, just give me a little cabin at the edge, of glory, you know. Don't bother with me. I'll get out of the way. I'm good. And the Lord says, no, I don't want it that way. I want you to be in the middle of my interaction with you. I want you to get it. I want you to believe for more and be used to give more and see the sphere of what I do with you and in you to increase. Now look what it says here, the end of verse 38. This is a dramatic statement. Jesus says, for with the measure you use, you got to use the measure. He's talking about economics here. The measure that you invest in the kingdom, that is the measure I'm going to give back to you. So what he's saying here is that you have a role to play in how far this thing goes. Now, God's still sovereign and he oversees it, but it's not like he says, well, if this is how it's going to be and that's it. He goes, no, I'm willing to go this far, but I'm only going to go as far as you want to go with me. And the way you determine it is by increasing the sphere or the amount or the percentage of your economic resource to advance the kingdom. And you're doing it because you love Jesus, you love the people you're helping, but you want to see the interaction. You want to see him give it back, and you want to be wowed. Okay, let's look at top of page 2. Last week, I gave stories of my first 5 or so years in the Lord. And in my first years in the Lord, the stories were mostly God answered me in the realm of hundreds of dollars. You know, I remember I started this. I was over the junior high ministry at the Presbyterian Church. I made $35 a week, and I loved it. And so when I had a miracle, $300 and $500 and numbers like that, that was a lot bigger than my income. And that was like, wow. Then the next 10 or 20 years, it was in thousands of dollars. It wasn't hundreds, it was thousands. And then the last 10 or 15 years, it's hundreds of thousands and millions. And I'm looking for the next realm. I mean, for real, I'm believing God for $1 billion. And who knows where this will go? Because the Lord, it's as easy for him to give $1 billion as to give $100. It's all the same to him. It's not a problem to him. But he wants the interaction with his people, and we want to develop that history in God. We want to be intentional about it. Look at top of page 2 here. Now, here's a new passage. We'll just look a few minutes at this passage, and then we're going to, I'm going to tell a few more stories, and then we'll pray after that. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is actually, elaborating on the principle Jesus taught that I just mentioned in Luke 6, when he says, give and it will be given according to the measure you use, I'll give it back to you. Paul's taking that principle, that truth that Jesus taught in Luke 6, and he's elaborating on it. He says, let me give you a little more detail beyond Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And he uses a very common analogy or a metaphor of an agricultural metaphor here. He's talking to the farmer, and everybody understood it. He says in verse 6, he goes to the farmer who sows a couple acres of seed, that farmer's going to get a couple acres of harvest. But to the farmer who sows, you know, hundreds of acres of seeds, they're going to get hundreds of acres of harvest. He goes, it's simple math. It's really easy to see it in terms of the natural. But here in verse 6, Paul applies that farm principle to the spiritual truth. He says, if you sow, now he's talking money now, sparingly. You only sow a little bit. He says, the Lord says you're going to reap. You will reap. You actually will. But you'll only reap a little bit. You plant a few acres, you get a few acre harvest. He says, if you sow bountifully, generously, above and beyond, you're going to get a harvest above and beyond. There is a connection. Now, again, we don't always see the connection of I gave and he answered that specific day on that specific amount. I mean, that's happened a number of times. But normally, just the water level in your economic life increases, and not always steadily upwards. There are setbacks. There are seasons of challenge. But in the 40, 50-year span, you look over the time, and you see that though it doesn't always, you don't always get answered exactly to that day, to that amount, but you look back 10 and 20, 30 years later, and you go, wow, the water level just, it really did increase in the overall, though you acknowledge there were seasons of challenge and where it didn't go like it did in the other seasons. Now, he gives a very important principle in verse 7. This is one that I really took to heart. He says, let each person, each marriage, each individual, each family unit, each one purpose in their heart where they want to relate to God, how much they want to relate to God in this area of finances. Now, when we were first married 40 years ago, a little over 40 years ago, we determined at the very beginning that tithing, the giving the 10%, I'd done that for five years or whatever before we were married. I said, I want to take it to the next level. And when we were first married, I said, I want to go with 20%. And Diane said, yes. I said, let's purpose in our heart. It was a very specific thing that we did. And you don't always have to, this purpose in your heart, you don't have to apply it exactly the way that we did. But to me, it meant what percentage of our overall economic resource are we committing to advance the kingdom? And we determined we were going to start at 20%, and we were going to steadily increase it over the years, and we would reduce our lifestyle before we reduced our percentage. That's what it meant to me. That's what that verse meant to me back then in verse 7. I'm going to purpose in my heart, because we did it together, and we said, yes, we're going to do this thing together. And then verse 8, and it goes on to say, look at verse 7. Now, when you are determined what you're going to purpose in your heart, and I'm going to challenge all of you to purpose in your heart where you're going to go with God in this. And again, the best way I know is a percentage, and maybe the Lord will give you a different application. I just said, this is how we're going to do this, and we're going to give you this and see what you do. And Paul said, I want you to be encouraged. Purpose in your heart knowing this, that God loves a cheerful giver because he is one. He will cheerfully give back to you. This is not a problem to him. He's not begrudging. If you increase your sphere of giving, he's not going, oh, no. You know, Bickle, you're giving. You keep giving. I gave you last month. Give me a break. I gave that to that other guy over the other part of the world. Come on. No. He says, I'm generous. I'm cheerful. I'm happy to do this with you. And Paul says, verse 8, God's more than just generous and happy to give and respond to you this way. He's able to. You know, I know some people that are cheerful and generous, but they don't have any money. They're not able. God is cheerful and able. He's like, I got all the money in the world. He says, look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have all sufficiency in all things. You have an abundance for every good work. So what does this mean? Now, the word grace, it means more than forgiveness. It means more than mercy. Grace includes mercy, God's unmerited favor. It means his enabling, his empowering. And that's what it means in this passage. God is able to give you grace, meaning God is able to empower you, to enable you. And he's talking about finances here in verse 8. This is a financial context that there's grace for finance. He says you'll have all sufficiency for everything. Now what that means, and you'll have an abundance for every good work. Now what it means to have all sufficiency means that he will give you, by grace, the economic supply to do the will of God in every season of your life. All sufficiency is the ability to do the will of God in your life. And abundance means you can do the will of God and still have extra money to help others to do the will of God. That's what he's saying. He's not giving them a blank check that says you're all going to be billionaires. He's saying the will of God, I will supply to you. And I will do more than give you sufficiency to do the will of God. I'll give you even more so you can help others along the way as well. So you get to be a recipient and you get to be a vessel of supply to others. I love being a recipient, and I love being a vessel of supply that I get to help others along the way as well. Look at paragraph B. Paul, now, same passage, verse 10. He's going to develop it even more. He says God wants you to understand Paul's teaching, that there's two different categories in which God provides finances to you. Two different reasons. Two different purposes for which God gives you economic increase. I'll explain it, then we'll read it. He goes, he gives you X amount of money that you would use as seed to sow, to give away so the kingdom would increase. Then he gives you X amount of money as bread for food. It's for your family. It's for your personal needs. So what Paul is telling them, he says, figure out what part of the money God supplies you is bread to eat. It's for your family, your bills, your vacations, your stuff. It's for you to consume it. Bread to eat, that's yours. But determine the amount that is seed to sow. Don't eat your seed. If you eat your seed, it won't produce a harvest. And so, again, mentioning our early days, we determined that we were going to give 20% as seed to sow, and 80% was going to be bread to eat. We were going to use the 80%, and again, we would consume it on our own personal life and ministry. So our personal lifestyle. Let's read verse 10. Paul says, now he, God, who supplies, he supplies seed to give away, seed to plant in the ground, seed to sow, but he also provides bread for food, bread to consume. He goes, now the God that supplies both of these, look at the second line of verse 10. He says he's going to multiply the seed, but only the part you sow. God doesn't multiply the bread that you consume. He blesses it, but he only multiplies the part you sow. And so Paul's getting them real specific. He goes, but when you do that, you sow it. He gives it back. You sow it. He gives it back. It increases the fruits of righteousness. It increases the sphere of which you can motivate people in righteousness. Because when you give them economic blessing and provision, they go, thank you, God. It produces thanksgiving. It moves their heart. The Lord, Paul's saying, you're actually, it's a way in which your life is stirring up righteous and thankful responses in others. There's an increase of righteousness that's going on when you're giving that money to advance the kingdom and help other people. And so I love that part as well. I love to give money and God give it back, and I feel, wow, you saw it. I love to see the person wowed that God made provision, though he might have used my hands or your hands, and they'd say, oh, God, I love you. Righteousness is increasing in their life and thanksgiving, and the whole storyline is just so, it's so beautiful. It's such a wonderful thing. Look at paragraph Roman number 3, just one more verse, and I'm going to share a few stories. Paul says, Malachi 3, verse 10 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now the passage we look at, try me, test me in this. See if I won't open the windows of heaven. See if I won't pour out for you such blessing, there won't be room to contain it all. Now, there's a couple points I want to bring in here. He first, this idea, he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Now, the tithe is the 10% of our economic resource. He goes, bring it into the storehouse. Bring it into the sphere of the family, the spiritual family God's put you in. And so, the reason the Lord says it this way, he says, I want food or provision in the spiritual family that I've planted you in. And so I want you to sow into that storehouse so ministries are provided, needs are met of the community you're a part of. Now, one of the reasons the Lord, there's many reasons he said to do that, to give to the storehouse, but one reason is your heart gets bonded, becomes bonded to what you sow money into. And The more you sow anything, I mean, good things or bad things, if you give money to good or bad things, your heart gets connected to those things. It's a spiritual principle that your treasure and your heart, your emotions are deeply connected. Your money and your emotions are connected. And the Lord's saying, I want you to love the spiritual family I put you in. And the Lord plants everybody in a spiritual family, in a local church family. Now, some people are in transition times. There's always those times. I understand that. But he wants everybody in a local family where the everyday routine mundaneness of life and real relationships, joys, sorrows, setbacks, victories, we're all in it together. Every believer across the earth, there's, you know, those are a few exceptions. He says, I want you in a spiritual family, and I want you serving in it. I want you sowing economically into it. I want you praying for it. I want you to bear the rigors and the mundaneness of it, and I want you to own the victories and the increases. I want my people in a spiritual family, not just being solos all by themselves, because there's safety in that. There's many, many things. That's not my topic today as to why God has done that. But he says here, I want you to connect your heart to that family and not, and you not be just casual, like, well, it's, you know, I kind of go there. I like the worship, and every now and then I like this or that. He says, no, no, I want you more involved than that at the heart level. And sowing into that spiritual family to where they get food or they have provision for needs met, all kinds of ways. Practical and spiritual needs are met for the finances. He goes, God's a father, and he builds families. He goes, I'm into this. And so then he says, the windows of heaven will be blessing. I mean, the windows of heaven will be open, and there'll be great blessing. Now, paragraph C, I want you to grasp this. This changed my life when I heard this many years ago, that when you tithe, you're giving 10%. That's the beginning. That's not the ceiling. That's the introduction for every sincere believer is tithing. That's the beginning point. And the Lord doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. He's rich. He could drop $1 million, $1 billion on any church he wants to. He says, no, I don't want to do it that way as a rule. I want your heart. I want you to see, and I want you to what I'll do, and I want your heart connected to the people. Yes, the weak and broken people around you. I want you connected to them. But he says, when you start with 10%, when I give 10% of my money to the Lord, I'm making a prophetic statement. I'm making a statement, you are Lord over the other 90%. It's a prophetic declaration of his lordship over your money. And it's a prophetic declaration that he is the source of my money. Meaning your source is not your job. I mean, the Lord uses your job. Your source is not your education and your economic understanding and abilities. The Lord uses it, of course. Your source is not all of your giftings and all your networking. He uses that. The Lord says, I am your source. If you lose your job, I am still your source. If you get millions, I am still your source. If you have nothing, I am your source. And the thing about regular giving, and some people give weekly, some monthly, some annually or whatever, the thing about regular giving, you have to go through that interaction with your heart on a regular basis. The money's in your hand, and you have to, there's an emotional wrestle, like, no, I think I'll hold on. The Lord says, am I the Lord? Am I the boss over your money? Do I own it? Well, of course you do. Everybody knows you do. Okay, then let go of it. Well, I mean, you do own it. But it's, Lord, I'll save it in my pocket. I mean, I'm good for you. This is good. He goes, no, let go. And there's the wrestle. And the wrestle, you have to line up every time. Is he really the boss of my money? The Lord of it, really? And so he makes us work the muscle on a regular basis. He wants it that way. And again, some do it monthly, some weekly, some annually. And he says, am I really the source? Do you really believe that if all these other supplies in your life break, do you really believe that I will be your source? Well, of course I do. Well, then give the 10%. Well, I need the 10% for my bills. He goes, I'm your source, right? Yeah, but you know, Lord, yes, you're my all in all. Let it go. And there's something about that seed when it's in your hand, it doesn't produce a harvest. The farmer lets go of the seed, puts it in the ground, Can't see it anymore. Can't have his hand on it. Farmer goes, looks down. Next day, I don't see anything. I planted that seed for sure. I know I'm in the right spot. I don't see a thing. In other words, it kind of is out of sight and it's out of hand for a moment. And the Lord says, okay, hang in there. Hang in there. Am I the boss and am I the source of your money? Yes. Do you believe that you could give 10% of my kingdom and that 90% with my blessing is actually more buying power than 100% without my blessing? If I am the Lord and the source, he says, I want the interaction. I don't need your money. I want your interaction and I want your connection to a spiritual family. I want you bonded. You give money to them, you start paying attention to what they say and don't say. You get bugged more, but you're more ownership too. And you're more in when your money goes there. And the Lord says, I really want all this to happen. So the guy asks me, he goes, well, do you tithe on the gross or the net? Been asked that a few times. I go, which one do you want to be blessed on? The gross or the net? And I said, but that's a legitimate question, a sincere question. But I go, you're still thinking technical. Like, I got to give it. I don't want to. Think relational. The God that's a cheerful giver who's watching you, he wants you to test him so he can give you a history. Man, I'm a give on the gross guy because I don't want to be limited to 10%. My early years was 10%, and that was challenging. When I had my 35 bucks a week as a youth pastor, man, I gave up $4. I go, man, that's intense, you know. I mean, this thing might grow to 10 one day, you know. And so I remember it was challenging to give $10 and $20 away when I made $35 a week back when I was 18, 19 years old in the youth pastor type of job type stuff. I found this over the many years of watching it. I found people find it easy to give 10% when their larger amount, their economic resource is small. You know, they got a couple zeros, you know, if they're, you know, the six figures, zero and less, you know, that guy can do it. But they get the seven and eight figures, that 10% is like, whoa. It's actually, I find people find it harder when they're larger resource, their resource increases. I've seen that over the years. It's odd to me. Something funny happens in the heart when the increase happens, but it doesn't have to. And I determined by the grace of God, I said, we're not going there. We're not going there. I'm going to see the increase, but instead of struggling to give more, I want to actually increase the percentage. And the Lord spoke to me and Diane, this isn't for everybody, but it's for some of you. He spoke to us strongly about a simple lifestyle. He said, I'm going to give you lots of money. A lot of his money is going to go through our hands as individuals and through the ministry hands. It's been millions and millions of dollars. But I don't want you to change your lifestyle because I increase your economic resource. And so I just throw that out to some of you that will really ring true in your heart. Set purpose in your heart, what a simple lifestyle is for you and God, what the percentage is, and let him put zeros, but don't shift anything. Or maybe you're not, you say, well, I need one more shift and then I'll do it, or whatever. I'm not the one to figure all that out for anybody, but I know for us what that meant. So I'm going to go back to share a few stories here now. So we're 21 years old. I just meet Diane and we have a short engagement and we're talking and she has this, is Diane here? Oh yeah, there she is. You get to give the other end of the story if you want to, since you're here, you wouldn't hear the first service. And so I'm talking to her and so she tells me this thing, which is supposed to be so exciting and wowing, and I give the worst possible answer you could imagine when she tells me this. So we're talking, and she goes, well, let's talk money. How much money do you have? And, of course, I always had no money. I always, at the end of the month, always was $100 or less. And I go, because one reason was for that. If I got an increase in those years, I always saw the increase. I wanted to see the bounce. I called it the bounce. I throw it. I sow the money and it bounces right back or boomerangs back to me. So if I got $1,000 some way, I wanted to go give it and see it come back as $5,000. So anytime I got money, I saw it as a chance to get a boomerang bounce back if I gave it. So having $1,000 in my bank account was a wasted opportunity of the boomerang effect. I go, so I never had money in my bank account because I always gave it away. And it wasn't because I was generous, because I wanted to see the bounce right back. Go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Now, I believe in savings. I believe in inheritance. I believe there's a biblical scope of financial principles that's bigger than just giving and generosity. But in those days, the Lord was really pushing me on the realm of believing him. Even more than generosity, although generosity he talked about, but it was, Mike, I want you to see me answer back. So anytime I got a little extra, I always boomeranged it, threw it out to see if it'd come back, and I studied and watched. I go, okay, let's see if I get some more zeros on this. This is kind of fun. And so I meet Diane, and she has worked from age 15 to 21. You know, and she's, you know, back in those days, in the mid-70s, the minimum wage was $2 an hour. You know, she'd make $50 a week, you know, for $100 a week. And for 5 years, she saved every dime nearly and had $5,000 saved up, $50 a week for working really hard working for five years. So she's waiting to tell the man she's going to marry, I have $5,000 for 5 years of diligent work to bring. First she asked me how much I have. Oh, nothing, you know. I got a used car and I got a good heart, but I don't have any money. And she goes, I got $5,000. And the normal, reasonable response for me should have been, wow, I'd never had $5,000 ever. That'd have been the biggest intake I ever had. But instead of saying, wow, something had skipped my brain, and what came out of my mouth was so bad, I said, why? And she goes, why? I go, why would you have $5,000? Because I'm thinking the boomerang effect, how many chances she's lost. I go, why? She goes, why? She goes, I've only been a believer, it's like 4 months at this time, or 5 months. I go, have you ever... I should have just stopped everything, took a walk around the block, had fun time, but I kicked right into Mike, the teacher. I go, have you ever had a supernatural miracle where money came back to you? She goes, what are you talking about? I've been in, say, 4 months. I don't know what you're talking about, or 5 months, whatever it was. I go, have you ever given money and had it come back and you knew it was God? She goes, I've never heard of that. I go, do you know who J. Hudson Taylor is? No. That's one of my hero biography guys. George Mueller, no, I go, well, okay. Here's what I've seen happen. I gave this for those Bibles, that $301, and it came back the exact amount. I paid those kids way to that ski trip I told her last week, came back the exact amount the exact day. I told her 5 or 6 or 8 more stories, and I told her different stories from biographies. I go, you've never had that happen. Again, I really messed up. I should have done it all way different, but anyway. She goes, I've never heard of it. I go, here's what I want to do. If you like this. She goes, nah, it sounds kind of exciting. It's just new. I said, I want to take your $5,000 and I want to give all of it away to missions. Let's get down to zero. Zero feels good. Because zero, there's no escape hatch. There's no second plan. It's God or you die. I go, I like that. I like that. I mean, not always, but I like that. It's he's real or he's not real. He knows me or he doesn't know me. I like that. She goes, okay. She goes, I trust you, but you can't tell my dad. This, I go, well, let's wait for a month. Next month we get married. Then you're kind of, we don't have to tell your dad, right? I think that's in the Bible, something like that. She goes, I don't know all that. Just don't tell nobody, please. I go, no, that's kind of the rules. You can't tell nobody. That's what it says in those books. So, you know, so get married. Right after that, we give the $5,000 away. I mean, we're zero. I just felt great. I go, this feels, she's going like, whoa, this is weird. I go, no, this is good. And so, what happens? 18 months go by. 18 months. Now, we've been married 40 years, and never, to my knowledge, has anyone stolen from me ever in the past or the future in those 40 years, except for that 18 months. Never before or after. And in that 18 months, eight people we were helping stole money from us. Never since and never before. It was all in a very tight window. So we give the $5,000, okay? So we're zero. She's been had this for years, building, you know, $3,000, $4,000, you know, $50 a week, whatever it was. And we, I'm a youth pastor now in the St. Louis area. I was the pastor of a little rural church the year before that when I first met her. And so now we're in St. Louis, and we make $1,000 a month. That is my salary. And we're double tithing, so we're living on $800. We can't really make it on $800. So we gave $5,000 away, and we're double tithing, and she's never even heard of tithing and never, ever heard of any of this. And now she's 6 months old in the Lord, and she's going, okay, this is, okay, I'll go for these stories that you have. So then, in the next 18 months, we have no miracles outstanding, nothing. But eight people rip us off that were helping. People were showing compassion. One guy, he got in a real jam. I won't give the details. His family, him, his wife, and three kids moved into our house for a month or two. He's a salesman, so he uses our phone for long-distance phone calls. For $400, he takes our phone bill, gets reimbursed from his company, keeps the $400 and leaves town. So I got to pay the $400. Another guy was at a jam. We let him live with us for a month. He came home from church on a Sunday. He stole the couches. We walked in. Diane goes, the couches are gone. I went, yeah, they are. I mean, it's probably only, it was worth like $800. They weren't great couches, but they are gone. One guy, we had a $500 guitar in our house. He stole that. So we added it up. It's 18 months. Diane's starting to get like, tell me again those stories. But I'm getting there too. I'm going like, I don't know. I'm getting a little bit wobbly. I'm going, no, I know this is true. I was there when the money came exactly. I know it's true. Well, her heart's, you know, getting ouched more. So we sat down to figure out how many of our people we helped stole money from us, and we added it all up. It was literally $5,000. That's the only time that I know of I've ever been stolen from anybody in a ministry context or anybody at this point. And so we do the math. We gave my $5,000 to missions, and in 18 months, we lost $5,000. Tell me your stories again. And we're double tithing on $1,000, so we can't hardly make it. Every month is, I'm going, God, I know this is real. The Lord's up heaven smiling, going, Mike, Diane, I'm looking at the 50-year story. You're going to love how I'm going to answer this. And so we're in tension. And I don't mean just together. I'm wobbly on this. But the time that delay makes you think it through 1,000 more times. Well, let's just quit the double tithing. Let's figure out another way. The Lord says, no, stay steady. I am the Lord and the source of your money. And day after day, I would just say, okay, wait, let me do this again. The Bible says, even though you're awful invisible these days, but I'd say back to him. Then one day, just out of nowhere, they knock on the door. Guy knocks on the door. We're living in this house. And the guy comes, I open the door. We lived in this house for a year, bought this house and lived in it. And he opens the door, and I say, hello. He goes, I want to buy your house. I go, really? He goes, it ends up, he had a business across the street. I didn't even know it. And he wanted to use my house for a commercial reason. I didn't know any of that. He just, I just want your house. I said, well, I'm open, but, and I gave him some big number. Something like, $200,000. I mean, some crazy number from what it was worth. He goes, okay. I go, well, what do you mean, okay? He goes, yeah, I'll do it. He goes, I actually got the money. I don't need the bank. I can write you a check. So I go to Diane. I go, hey, you want to sell our house? I go, I don't know what just happened. And We got the money. I forgot the exact amount. We pay off the bank loan of the house. The bank gives us the profits. We've only owned the house 1 year. $55,000. Like exactly. I don't mean maybe a penny more, but $55,000. I'm looking at a $55,000 profit off of a house in 1 year. And the Lord whispers in my heart, the $5,000 is for the people that you were helping that stole from you. And the $50,000 is a tenfold of the money you gave to missions. So I got this $55,000 check. So I walked in and says, woman, this is what the man of God's talking about right here. Now, what is it you're not understanding right here about the Word of God? Well, the truth is I didn't do any of that, but we just looked at each other and we go, this is amazing. The Lord was saying the $5,000 stolen was corresponding to the $5,000 you gave. I was just letting, God didn't make that happen, but the numbers were the same. And then the $55,000, the exact amount. And so we took that and a while later, the Lord spoke to us clearly. And I said, Diane, let's get some zeros on this. Let's bounce it back out there. Let's throw it back out and see it bounce back. And we did it. We sowed it to missions. And I can tell you, I'm not going to tell you all the stories, but the Lord has answered and we've been able to sow it back a time or two more. He just keeps increasing it between what money we have touched personally and in ministry. The numbers just keep moving. And I look at it, it's like, this is, when I look at 40 years, there's some tough spots, but the larger storyline is God says, test me, and he shows himself faithful. Well, so I'll tell you a couple other little ones. So a couple years go by, we're in Kansas City now, and our salary, probably for 10 or 12, I was pastoring 17 years, probably 15 of the years, something like that. I don't remember exactly. Our salary was $2,000. We had the same salary for a long, long, long time. And it was $2,000 a month, so we got $1,000 every 2 weeks. And I chose that because I wanted to be pushed out there. I wanted to be in a place. I'm not into poverty at all. As a matter of fact, I'm into prosperity. I'm just into dynamics happening. Some people around say, oh, you're into poverty, get into poverty. I go, no. I just want an exciting ride that lasts forever. I'm into Shundai Mahundai is what I'm into. I'm not into poverty. I want the action and the lightning. I want to see the boom of God. And I want to help people too. It's the both and. And so we on purpose had a simple salary. So every 2 weeks we get $1,000. And at the end of the month, for 15 years, first 15 years in Kansas City, we would have $100 at the end of the month. I mean, there's exceptions. Some months, not exactly, more or less, whatever. But typically, it was every month was right to the wire. And if we got a little extra, we'd give it away to get the boomerang back, to get the bounce back. We'd give it bounce right back to us later. So a couple years later, I go, okay. I said, I feel stirred. I want to take our 2 week paycheck, $1,000. I just want to give it to missions. Just raw give it. She goes, well, we can't pay the light bill or the rent. And I go, yeah, we will. Let's just do it. She goes, are you sure? I go, no. But let's try it. Let's just see it. She goes, okay. She goes, by this time we've got a handful of stories. It's a few years, we've been married for a few years. So I gave $1,000. And again, we don't have an escape hatch. And we can't tell nobody. So the next day, a man walks into my office at the church and pastor, just right down the road here. He says, I'm just in the area. He goes, this is odd, but the Lord told me to give you $1,000. He told me to give it to you today. He goes, I don't know. And he gave me the $1,000, exactly the amount I gave yesterday. So I come home and I give it to Diane. She goes, wow, this is fun. This is cool. A couple years go by. I go, hey, let's do that again. We're still at the $1,000. At the end of the month, we got $100 or whatever. I don't know the exact. I go, let's just give it away again. Let's just sow it to missions and see it bounce back. So gave it. The next day, nobody comes. I'm waiting. Lord. But a week later, I get a check in the mail. Guy says, God told me, I mean, I wasn't raising support or no one ever gave me checks in the mail. I mean, I was not in a support raising mode, nothing like that. This is really odd, random, $2,000 check. God told me to give it to you. And so I guess he got it, delayed 3 days, then it took 2 days in the mail. Probably the very day, I don't know, I'm just kidding about that. But a week later, I get the $2,000. And I go, this is amazing. It's not that I got $2,000. It's that you listened to me. Then a couple years later, tried it again. It went flat. We didn't get anything, just so you know. And I went, And the Lord says, no, it won't always be tit for tat. Then we try a couple years later, tried it again. I think we ended up doing it four times. And then the second two, nothing happened, just to be honest. But anyway, but the water level increases, though it's not always a tit for tat. You know, last week I told the story, and I love it, is that the lady came up and after the service and says, I was just so, because I've heard these stories over the years. She's been around here for and connected to with what I've been doing for years. And she goes, I've heard these stories a couple times. And 6 or 7 years ago when you told these stories, she goes, honestly, I was a little bit annoyed. She goes, I'm a mom at home and you're a preacher and you get a wad of cash at the church. Because I told the story of a guy who gave me the $550. I told that last week. She goes, wow, God does that for preachers. He does that for you. But what about me? I'm as faithful as you are, but I've never got a wad of cash at a church service. I mean, I think it's only happened to me once, I think, or maybe I'm forgetting a story, but it's not like regular. And she said, and I heard your story 6, 7 years ago, and I was annoyed. And I said, God, I so is diligently believing. I've never had money given to me at a church service. And I know you give it to me otherwise, but I just want you to hear my voice. She goes, the next week, this was last Sunday, she told me, she goes, I walked in, and a guy gave me an envelope of money. Happened the next week. She goes, it's never happened before or after that. She goes, it was a wad of cash a lot bigger than your story. She goes, God knows me too, not just preachers. I love it. I said, that's the point of this whole thing. She goes, it never happened again. But somehow my heart was ouched, and God did it for me. I'll tell you one more just fun story, and then I'll end with that. It's our two sons, Luke and Paul. So they're about 9 and 10 years old, something like that, 10, 11. This is about 1990, 1989, and we're having our family devotions. We would, several times a week, we would have I led family devotions. And in family devotions, we'd have a Bible time, and we have a prayer time. And just so you don't get some idealized form of Mike Bickle family devotions, Diane was never that happy with my family devotions. Because our two sons, they're not, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, they're 2 years apart, a year apart, all those years. And so we would, whenever they would ask a question, crazy question about the NFL or NBA or something, I would get off the topic. Here we're studying Ephesians, honor your parents, which is good. And they asked me about, Michael Jordan or whoever. And we would go way off track. And Diane's looking at me going, and so we always kind of, we messed up our Bible times a lot. But anyway, back to the story. So we would have a prayer list we'd go through, our family one, just for 5 minutes. You don't want to wear out 10-year-old boys with long prayer times. So we had a list. And so I would tell them my stories about how money would come. And our two sons, both of them have this thing in their heart. They buy into this, and God has used them. And they both got, and their wives, they have stories. They've got their own histories, but this is something that got into them back then. Because this is something that can be passed down. And so I say, okay, you both got X amount of money from doing certain things, and let's give it to missions. And so they both agreed, yes. Okay. I go, okay, good. But I said, I don't want you just to do generosity. That's good in itself. I want you to believe for something. So I want to write it down. I go, what do you want to believe for? Luke? What are you asking for? You're going to give a chunk of your little amount. We're going to give it to missions. He goes, I want a dog. I go, no, not a dog. It's going to take more than that to get a dog in this house. I know there's some wounds still coming out here. But anyway, So I said, no, no, not dog, money. He goes,
I don't know.
I go, come on, let's think. He goes, well, I traveled with, a lot of you know the name John Wimber for some years, and John would let our family fly with us. We go to Europe and lots of places, these conferences, and John would pay our way, and Luke says, something with travel. I said, okay, something with travel. So let's give your money, your $100 or whatever, a big amount, the two. And I go, Paul, what do you want? He goes, nothing. I go, come on. He goes, nah, I'm good. So they gave it to us. Paul didn't ask for nothing. Luke said something travel. A week later, we get in the mail from one of the major airlines. Luke Bickle, the one who asked, gold card, premium status upgrades on all your international flights. I look at that, I go, that's not possible. I mean, they've only been on like three of them. I mean, you don't. So I call the airlines. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to mess the miracle up. But I don't want to get to the airport and they go, sorry, Mr. Bickle, it was a mistake. And then Luke goes, oh my gosh, it wasn't a miracle. So I wanted to get it clear. So I call up, I go, how many miles does it take to get this gold card, this premium? They said, well, X amount of hundreds of thousands. I go, I go, what does your record say for this one Luke Bickle? They go, hundreds of thousands of miles. And it's like, what? I didn't say what. But I go, is that accurate? He goes, do you want to talk to my boss? Is there a problem? I go, no. He goes, you know what? It's way more complicated for us to undo it. Just let it be. I said, good. So I go, Luke, you're upgraded for the next couple of years on every flight we take. And Paul goes, hey, I want to put something on that prayer list. So we go to Europe. Luke's in first class, leaning back, eating the nice ice cream. The three of us, me, Diane, and Paul, we're back there in the salted peanuts and the Diet Coke. Luke's eating steak. Hi, guy. He leans over, waves at us. I go, Paul goes, can I still get some on that list, man? Is it too late? Anyway, I could give you a couple more stories, but I'll just end with that. Let's just stand before the Lord. Wait, Diane, you want to say anything? No. Did I tell the story mostly right? Your $5,000 story, did I tell it right? I did. You don't want to say nothing? Okay. Paul, you want to say something about your gold card that you didn't get because you didn't want to pray? No, you give the thumbs up. Okay, he goes, I'm fine. I've got blessed so many times. I ain't worried about it. Well, here's what I'm wanting to do. I want us to respond again. Again, I'm not looking for a big offering. I'm looking for a paradigm shift. I'm looking for God, I want the dynamic of this. So I'm going to pray the verse 7. It was 2 Corinthians 9:7, the passage I looked at. Paul said, let each of you purpose in their own heart. But remember, God's cheerful. He wants you to be cheerful because he is, and he's able. He can meet you. He will meet you. He's able to make this thing work. So I want everyone in the room to take the next moment or two. You don't have to decide it today. Say, Lord, I want a purpose in my heart. You know, I want to get more stories. I want to get a few. I don't want to hit a crisis or an international crisis and have no stories. And I'm just left with fear because I don't know if you even know me in this way. Beloved, we want to be intentional about getting a history. You don't have to decide it today. Again, me and Diane, we did the percentage. I don't know that's the only way to do it, but that's how we did it, and we still like that percentage. And we just, the Lord's helped us to increase that over the years. But I'm talking about something where you say, I'm going to decrease my lifestyle before I decrease that. I have purpose. I've set my heart. That's a real setting of your heart. And you may not be able to do it 100%, but I want to call you to something really purposeful with God. So, Father, here we are before you. The ushers, you can put those up there if you want. Lord, here we are before you, and we ask you. Lord, we purpose, whether it's the students with $10, it doesn't matter the amount. It doesn't matter the amount. It's the interaction. We purpose in our heart. We purpose in our heart. We want to sow this amount as seed, and we want to keep the rest as bread for food to consume in our own life. And Lord, we say, help me. Help me. I want to step out. I want to see more. But say this one last thing to the Lord. You're willing to see because we had that 18 months, and we've had a few dry seasons in between. where it wasn't exactly dynamic, but it always ends up working if you just stay with it. So, Lord, I ask you to bless us as a community in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So go ahead and come forward and give as you want. And again, I'm going to say what I said last week. If you want to give, you don't want to give money today, but put an amount or a percentage on a piece of paper and maybe just put your first initial on it and drop it in there as a statement to the Lord. Some people, that really settles their heart. Others, they go, I don't need to do that. I'm good. But I want to encourage you to think about that, writing down an amount or percentage. Say, this is what I purpose. And Lord, I want to say it before you, and I want to put it before you. You may be 18, you may be 80. It doesn't matter the amount or the age. Start the journey.